And I invite you to remain standing in honor of the reading of the gospel lesson, which comes to us this day from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Let us be attentive now to the word of God. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God, and you may be seated. And let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we pray now that you would unstop our ears, make ready our hearts, and prepare within us room to receive the good news that you do not love us from a distance, O God, but up close and personal. Come now, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, let every heart prepare him room. Amen. The house is jam-packed. 15 people under one roof, 2 to 3 to a bed, all in anticipation of an early morning flight to Paris for a European Christmas vacation. Chaos reigns in the house, so much so that when the pizza delivery man shows up, he's not sure who ordered the pizza and can't find anybody to pay him. When the police officer comes by to give a warning about some nefarious activity going on in the neighborhood, he cannot find the owner of the house. Indeed, over dinner, there is spilt milk, and there is fussing and fighting. Buzz beating up on his younger brother, Kevin, until finally Kevin is banished to his bedroom, makeshift now in the attic. And as he makes his way up the steps, his mother says, "Well, maybe you should pray to Santa for a new family." And if you've seen this movie, Home Alone, Kevin says back, "I don't want any family at all." And of course, the power goes out during the night, which means the alarm clocks don't go off in the morning. The taxi driver shows up to take them all to the airport. Hustle and bustle happens. A young niece is supposed to count off, and she mistakenly counts a neighbor, and off they go to the airport, leaving Kevin home alone. It's only when they're somewhere over the Atlantic that this conversation between the mother and the father ensues. The mother says, "I have this terrible feeling we didn't do something." And the dad says, "You just feel that way because we left the house in such a hurry." The mother goes through in her mind the list. "Did I turn off the coffee maker?" Her husband says, "No, but I did." "Well, did you lock up the house?" "Yes." "Did you close the garage?" "That's it. I forgot to close the garage." But the mother's still not convinced. "No, that's not it." The exasperated husband at this point says, "What else could we possibly be forgetting?" Until the mother screams, "Kevin!" Forgetting her own child. In the chaos and in the confusion. Well, in Rome, there is chaos and confusion that has ensued. This time, not because people are scurrying off to a European Christmas vacation, but because of taxation. Emperor Augustus has decreed that all should go home and be counted for the purposes of taxation for this occupation. So in Bethlehem, while we may sing, "How still we see thee lie," all is not quiet and all is not calm. People are scurrying to get back to their ancestral homes and to find a place to lay their sweet little heads. It's no different for Joseph and Mary, who have had to make the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem while Mary is due to deliver at any moment. Arriving late in town, I imagine it's actually not to the inn that they go first. But they try Joseph's ancestral home. After all, family always has to take you in, right? And so Joseph knocks upon the door of his childhood home, I imagine. And of course they're going to welcome him in, right? Except when they come to the door, they only crack it open. Oh, it's you, Joe, and Mary. Sorry, no room, no vacancy here. Why? Well, maybe it has to do with Mary's condition. Her reputation precedes her, and they know the scandal that she's pregnant outside of wedlock. The home is kosher, perhaps, and they know that if she gives birth in the home, they will all be unclean for weeks to come. So the door is shut to Mary and Joseph. Let old acquaintance be not forgot, though. They go around and begin to knock on doors of old Shabbat school friends from back in the day, hoping surely someone will let them in. But it's a no at every turn. Joseph, though undaunted, looking at Mary, thinks, I must press on. And though the neon gaslit sign over the Hotel de Bethlehem is blinking on and off, no vacancy, he knocks on the door anyway. The innkeeper comes to the door, sees who it is, and says, can you not read the sign? No room here. Besides, even the conference rooms and conference space, we've turned all those into bedrooms. We've got no room for you here. Joseph protests, but you don't understand. This child is the Son of God, the Messiah. To which the innkeeper replies, I can't have a woman giving birth in the hotel tonight. All the guests will complain about all the noise and the screaming and the shouting. Besides, the liability of it all. I don't have medical equipment or doctors. You can't do that here. Awful, right? That someone would shut the door in the face of Mary and Joseph and send them away wanting. And yet, let me ask it this way. Suppose this evening in 2018, you're all settled in for a long winter's nap, mom in her kerchief and I in my cap, and at 2 a.m., someone here in Chapel Hill, a teenage couple who's run out of gas, trying to get to UNC hospitals, to the children's hospital there, the women's clinic, trying to get there before the child is delivered, but they don't make it, and they knock on your door. You arise to all the clatter, and you go to see what's making the noise. You throw open the shutters, and you see who it is. Will you welcome them in, these lost and wayward teenagers? The reality is, no one lets Mary and Joseph in, but God comes anyway, bursting through the night into Bethlehem, born into the world, and the only ones who see it, shepherds. The last and the least, cattle and sheep. Some 20 centuries later, I'd like to think that we're a little more sophisticated. We're a little more put together. With the joy of knowing this story for the past 2,000 years, surely we would open our homes, would we not? And yet, if my life is anything like yours this time of year, there is no margin. There is no room. The calendars are full. The house is full. There's really no more space. Where would we put them if they came into the house? NPR recently put out a study or had commented on a story that despite the fact that we've got all of this progress, we are more alone than ever before. We may be rich in things and yet poor in soul. We've so crammed our lives with activity and possession that there is little room for the Christ child to enter in. It's true individually, and I'm afraid it's true for us collectively. James Harnish, retired United Methodist pastor, says the following, our world, too, seemingly these days has no room. No room for Jesus' words amid all the mindless chatter and social media. No room for Jesus' upside-down kingdom amid our own power struggles in the world. No room for Christ's calling to peacemaking amid our addiction to war and to violence. No room for Christ's compassion amidst our need to get one up on the other. No room, seemingly, for Mary's vision of a day when the hungry are fed, and the sick are made well, and the lame to walk, and the blind to see. No room for the angels' visions of peace on earth, goodwill to all. We seemingly have not made room even here and now. And yet, dear friends, here's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ that cannot be denied. The God whom we gather to worship this morning cares not for our no vacancy signs, but comes anyway, breaking through, making room into our lives. We'll not be deterred, even if we try to shut the door in his face. This Advent, dear friends, with just a few days left before Christmas, an invitation. Maybe it's a challenge. How are you making room for the one who seeks to come, not just back in Bethlehem, but here and now, to you and to me, to the places in the interior of our hearts and lives that are empty and afraid and disillusioned? Let every heart prepare him room, that together come Christmas, we might not be home alone, but together we might be singing truly joy to the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.